FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. How in the world are you today? We're looking for truth as we always are, and we're sharing it with you. You even helped to ask some of the questions. Our number is 893-1450. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You brought a friend with you.
Yes, I brought Lieutenant Chris Deal with the jail. He takes care of our services with our different programs. He's kind of a jack of all trades.
All right.
He's a liaison between the jail and the courthouse, so I mean, he wears a lot of different hats.
And puts a lot of miles on his car, going back and forth from the jail to the workhouse. Yeah. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Mr. Walker. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today. Sheriff Arnold, as you look at some of the things that you are facing this week and last week, we're coming to the end of the kitchen situation. We're not there yet, are we?
They should be giving us the keys Friday.
This
Friday morning.
There's going to be a party over there, right?
I don't know about a party, but we and the inmates will be very happy to get our kitchen back online and back to cooking our own food. This morning, I think they're finishing up some of the grout. They had to go back in and do some touch-up. For the past 2 weeks, they've been just in there doing the touch-up stuff, trying to make sure everything's, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's. So the Murfreesboro City should give us an occupancy permit Friday morning, hopefully.
How long have you been out of a kitchen?
1 year and 3 weeks.
And so many hours and seconds.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a serious problem here. I mean, somebody says, well, you know, I would miss my kitchen if I was out of a kitchen for a year, but I could survive. How many meals a day do you need to prepare?
Let's say roughly 3,000. That'd be a good guess.
3,000 a day?
Yes.
And you've been without that ability for over a year.
For over a year. And we can't just run down to McDonald's or Hardee's. You know, we've got to produce that. So the workhouse has been doing it for us for the past year. And we are looking forward to getting our kitchen back.
Alrighty. So if you get the keys Friday, when will it be able to be used?
I think probably Monday they will start ordering the food. So hopefully by this time next week, we'll start cooking our first meals.
What did you need? I mean, it must have been something huge to have it out of, you know, operation for over a year. What, did you just tear out the old one totally?
Yeah, we totally tore it down to the dirt. Except for the walls itself, but the floor was tore down to the dirt, and it had to have all new piping put in it. Had to have all new everything, new concrete, everything, and from the ground up.
Well, I guess if you use it 3,000 meals a day, those things wear out after a while.
Well, it was from wearing out, just the use of it and neglect. You know, it just wasn't taken care of properly, and so it had to be totally gutted and redone.
Okay.
And some of it was, it wasn't laid out properly. When the contractors originally built it, they didn't. It was kind of amazing. Some of the pipes would show that in the blueprints that they were at a certain location, and you'd go to that location, and they might be 10 foot over the another direction, so they weren't where they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was lots of different issues.
And was that unusual for that building? I mean, that building was built, what, about 10 years ago?
Roughly about 14 years
14,
ago.
14, okay.
98.
Yeah.
So was that normal? I mean, did you find other things that you thought were one place and they ended up somewhere else?
Well, I think that was kind of throughout the entire project. You know, we'd find wires that were showing that they would be here and they would not be there. They were somewhere else. So I was kind of had to go through and it took a while to try to figure out where everything was at first, so then the construction could start taking it apart so they could start putting it back together.
Did you run, because I know not long ago you did a total remake of your communication system.
Yes.
Did you find that situation there too?
No, we didn't really find it that bad there. I mean, you know, we found some wires and stuff that had been from other stuff, had just been like unplugged and just left like extension cords on the floor, but they weren't extension cords. They were from the phone company and stuff. So whenever we gutted that, that was actually a good process because there was lots of stuff that they were able to go back to the source and like undo. And so we didn't have all the mess. It didn't look like spaghetti underneath the floor anymore.
Yeah, I can really relate to this.
Yes.
At the radio station.
Radio station.
Things just expand, and we can find old wires that probably haven't been used for 50 years here.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they have classic memories with them.
You just unplug. Yeah, literally.
So you're finding stuff like, it's not just the radio station that had this.
No, it's not just the radio station. It's it's everywhere. Whenever, most buildings that you go into, I know some of the other places that I've worked with the school system and stuff, you whenever they redo something, sometimes it's easier just to leave something than it is to try to take it completely out. And when you gut something, that's when it's the best time to do it all. So
you get the keys Friday.
Get the keys Friday. You know, the past couple of years have been, I've learned how to build a kitchen. I've rebricked a building. You know, we've built a communication center. You know, we've done lots of stuff. And, we've actually, taxpayer money, we've really not spent too much taxpayer money on all these projects. Luckily, with the litigation fund, we were able to pull a lot of the money out of there. You know, we've done a lot, and I never thought that I would build a kitchen or rebrick a 9-story building and, get into the details and the architecture of those different type of projects. But it's one thing I say, I tell everyone every day, thank you for my job. And it's amazing with my job because sometimes I'll be sitting in a meeting and I'll be looking at a carton of milk and wondering how cheap I can get this carton of milk. And the next thing you're doing, you're looking at another project and going, okay, this is a software program that's going to control, our dispatch, our CAD system, and it's looking at, a $1 million price tag. And then you go to looking at uniforms and boots. I mean, it's amazing in what all my job entails. And I tell everyone thank you every day for my job.
Well, now, part of your job is, I guess, wrapping up pretty soon, and that is the garden outside.
Yes.
We're coming to the end of the garden season, and miraculously, the next garden season, you'll actually be able to use the food that you grow.
Yes.
This year, you didn't have a kitchen.
This year, we gave it to, I heard earlier you had Greenhouse Ministries on the radio. We give a lot of stuff to Greenhouse Ministries. We gave it to Room at the Inn.
Salvation Army?
Yeah, Salvation Army, Meals on Wheels. We were donating all that food because we didn't really have a use for it because we couldn't take it in our kitchen. They wouldn't take it over at the workhouse, so we had to do something else with it. So we donated it. But next year, it'll all go back into the jail. And so hopefully we're going to weigh it all, and hopefully by this time next year, I'll be able to tell you how much weight-wise food we've put back into the jail through the garden program. The garden program is an amazing program. It started out just as an idea of, hey, we've got a bunch of land in front of the building. Let's do something with it. And it's grown, and people love it. They love, one, seeing it. They love seeing the guys out there working it. The guys out there working in it, they love working in it because a lot of these guys have never team built on anything. They've never worked with somebody for a common goal. And these guys actually see the fruits of their labor, literally. I mean, they'll pick a tomato, and sometimes, they'll take water out there with them. They'll wash it off and eat it right there. And so, I mean, they're seeing the fruits of their labor and seeing how to. Now, sometimes they can teach us about growing stuff, too. But, we work it all in together. And MTSU has been a great partner. The professors over there, the professor actually told me about 2 months ago that our garden was the best garden he had seen compared to even his, because, and naturally we've got the labor for it, but working with them, he's spectacular.
Well, now, this next year, since you do have quite a bit of land over there, is the garden going to be even bigger since you're able to use the
produce? Yeah, we keep growing it a little bit more and a little bit more. We tried pumpkins this year, the first year. They didn't do so great. I think we ended up getting maybe 10 pumpkins. So we're going to try that again, because what we were going to do is we were going to grow these pumpkins and let the inmates that were working in the garden program give a pumpkin to their children for Halloween if they could, but the pumpkins
didn't happen.
They played out. I think the drought got them, but I mean, watermelons, cantaloupe, tons of peppers, onions, all types of tomatoes. We had more tomatoes, and we had the little cherry tomatoes and then the big tomatoes. I mean, we had stuff coming out our ears. So luckily next year, hopefully 100% of that's going to go back into the jail. And actually, I want to start a canning program.
Oh, really?
That's a goal, is to start a canning program, because sometimes we may not be able to use all the food, but if we can it, then we can save it for the wintertime and put it in stews and stuff like that.
So you're going to be teaching an art form.
Yes, because it's a dying art.
It is. So. Very popular now. Yes. I mean, these programs that are going on to teach canning.
Yes. So that's a goal of ours, hopefully next year, to start teaching the canning.
Now, Lieutenant Chris Deal is at the jail. How are these programs being accepted? Are they wanting to be a part of learning how to can or work in the garden or whatever it might be?
Any kind of job like that, everybody wants. Unfortunately, we have over 900 inmates, so I can't put them all in there. And right now we have, I believe, 10 in the program, and that's like the hottest program you could have there, because A, they get to go outside, B, they get to learn a trade or a skill, and C, it gives them hope. You know, I mean, we're not just sitting in there and having them sit in their cell, you know, just run the mill. But like I said, unfortunately, the way our building's set up and our staffing is, you know, we can't put everybody in that program.
900 and something people, and only 10 are able to take advantage of it. There must be a lot of competition to be in that.
Yes, sir. Yes. There's a lot of competition, and a lot of I can do better than the next person. So, and that also gives the people that are in the garden an opportunity to think, okay, well, somebody else is trying to want my job, so I need to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not breaking the rules, so to speak.
So that gives them, you know, as you look at this, this gives them a way to think, when I get out and get a job, I need to be the best employee that there ever was.
Yeah.
Also, Miss Minner, who oversees our garden project, if you do not have your GED, she requires you to enroll in the GED program, so that way we can at least get their GED, because we have a lot of people that don't have their GED right now.
Yeah.
In fact, you'd broken some records, hadn't you, as far as number of graduates with GED?
It was over 500, and our longtime GED instructor, Rodney Hayes, he retired earlier this year, but I think we're number one or number two in the state as far as GED graduates.
That's phenomenal.
Yes, sir.
It's really something to be proud of. Let's look at, you also transport prisoners back and forth from the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center to the courthouse, to the judicial building, not the courthouse, across the street from that. Is that changing? Are you, I know we had talked at one point with the sheriff about getting some high-definition TV to let the interviews come from the jail.
We actually are collaborating with the General Sessions judges and Circuit Court judges, actually doing a 10-day rule. When you're arrested, you're required to be in front of a judge, a local rule. Within 10 days, the judges, the district attorney, the public defender, the private probation company, and the clerk actually come out and hold court for the 10-day rule. So that's reducing us taking 85 to 95 people from the jail to the courthouse and sitting there with them, you know, till 3 or 4 o'clock. So, yes, sir, that's made a big difference. That's something new the sheriff started.
Better use of manpower and better security, I would guess.
Yep. One, it's saving us on overtime. It has taken a while working with the judges and the DA. Judge Lowry has been great, very easy to work with on this, and they saw the need of it. Literally, it's reduced about 90 people that we have to transport over, and we just sit with them. We put them in a what we call a bullpen over at the courthouse, and then we just sit there and wait for them to get called up, and they're kind of in the mix of everybody else. By doing this, we're keeping them at the jail, so they're staying in a secured environment. They're going. We created a courtroom in what we call IDR. We painted it, did everything up, got flags, and built the judge a stand. And it's working out great. And now I just talked to Chief Arnold, Kevin Arnold with Smyrna Police Department, and they're starting to look at possibly changing some of their court stuff, because they come and pick up inmates and take them down to Smyrna for court. So they're looking at possibly just sending the judge and the DA and all them up here to Murfreesboro to do the court at the jail, and that would save the town of Smyrna lots of overtime and transportation costs. You got to think wear and tear on a vehicle, the gas, you know, the officer's time back and forth, and for them, I think that's all overtime. So it's a cost savings to the whole community whenever we can come up with these different programs. Just unfortunately, we keep having to try to find and try to figure out how to adapt the space that we have to do different things for our county to help offset different things. But, you know, if we had like a nice courtroom, or just a courtroom, it doesn't have to be nice, it's just an actual courtroom that's dedicated for that, it could save the county quite a bit of money just in the time. The judges are all on board. I've had several meetings with them, and they're all on board about doing this. So it's just coming up with the full-time space.
Well, now, with 90 or so persons who have to go before the judge within a 10-day period, how many do you do this weekly, daily? How often?
Oh, that's daily. I mean,
oh, this is daily.
Oh, we do the court. We do the court now. We started the first month doing it daily. We're now at three times a week. Judge mm-hmm. Lowry comes down twice a week, and then Judge McFarland comes one day a week.
Is that because you got rid of the backlog, or you've become more proficient?
Yeah, the other judges helped us, and we got rid of the backlog, caught up pretty quick, and so we figured out the numbers that three times a week doing this 10-day rule down there would help. And it even helps the judges out, because they're able to get through their court docket so much quicker when they don't have the inmates and just sitting there waiting. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Now, how long does this take? You say 3 days a week. How long per day?
It takes typically an hour.
An hour. Okay.
The actual DA's office gets there pretty early. Like I said, they've been great, the DA's office, General Weitzel. They've been great as far as coming out early, and they'll get everything ready. And then when the judge walks in, I mean, it's a smooth sailing. So, it's like I said, it's been a win-win for everybody.
Wow. That's exciting to see things like this happening. And it clears up the docket so that the courts can be more efficient for other causes too.
Yeah, so the regular people that are coming off the street that are having to take time off work, they're getting in and out of court quicker as well, because they don't have to wait on the inmates, the 10-day rules. They can come in, do their traffic tickets or whatever, and get out and get back to work. So it's a win-win.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. And your time to call in and ask questions. We've covered some pretty interesting things this morning. They get the key to the new kitchen on Friday. They have this court program going on, which they're caught up now, no backlogs. Everybody sees a judge within 10 days, and they do it at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. No more transporting, at least on that segment of it. What's your thought? 893-1450, 893-1450. Sheriff Robert Arnold with us, along with Lieutenant Chris Deal. We'll be right back.
Forever to the end of time. Oh,
sometimes you gotta wonder, is there anybody in town Truman Jones doesn't know? Truman Jones is on weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS.
Need a new energy-efficient car? Turn to Ford of Murfreesboro and test drive the all-new 2012 Ford Focus or the Ford Fusion. Both available with 0% APR for the next 60 months with Ford Credit Financing. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today on Broad Street at Northfield Boulevard, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro. And I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords and give you the best deal in town.
Some real collectibles that you'd love to have. One year they had Bob Hope's watch and a necklace from Doris Day. And they'll have some more celebrity pieces at the Antique and Estate Sale Wednesday, October 24th at Bell Jewelers. You know it's going to be quality because it's at Bell Jewelers. 821 Northwest Broad, across from Toots.
Robert's Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Robert's Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
No accidents or stalled vehicles at this time, according to the Murfreesboro Police. We do have congestion, though. We've got Old Ford Parkway at Chapin Place, Old Ford Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway, also Broad at Church and Broad at Memorial with busy traffic for it. Also, in coming into downtown, we've got I-24. We had an accident earlier on the Harding Place exit. That is in the clearing stages. Performance Studio is more than just a costume store. They're the costume superstore. They have professional staff there to assist you, located at 523 West Thompson Lane. Call 256-0070. Randy Ryan with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
For the forecast area today, sunshine, upper 70s, while the south wind increasing, feeling breezy. Showers and storms possible tonight, low of 52. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Felhuber.
Right now, 54.
I'm Steve Smith at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Our people are different from others. We give the personal service. We're here to answer the telephone. We're just personal hometown banking at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues.
WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. 893-1450 if you'd like to join us this morning. They get the key to the new kitchen on Friday. Lots happening at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. And how long had you been, once again, without the kitchen?
1 year, 3 weeks.
Wow. And 3,000 meals
yes.
a day. Wow. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Arnold and Lieutenant Chris Deal.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
That is an outstanding thing to hear, how money is being used or facilities are being built to be better efficient and be better for everybody, the inmates, the people who are taking care of the inmates and everybody. That's a wonderful thing to hear this morning.
Well, thank you.
Did you have a question or anything?
No, I don't have any questions at all. I just enjoyed hearing him talk about that and talk about the. I know it's costly, but it was an efficient use of the money. Sounds like.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Well, you gentlemen have a blessed day now.
You too.
Bye bye. And good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Hello. She must work for the share. That's pretty good, Hollywood. Must be, boy, that's all it takes, a little money. Sir.
Yes, sir.
I was talking to the lady at church the other night. She was very upset at Revival. I was talking to, well, I wouldn't tell you the name. We'd keep that. Don't matter about that. Anyway, she was saying that now when you go out there to visit people, pretty soon you're going to have to just see them on television. Is that true?
Yes, actually, that was one thing we were going to get to in the next little bit. But video visitation. We are going to a video visitation throughout the jail. One thing with this new video visitation, you're going to be able to, let's say if you have family members in California or somewhere far away and they can't drive here, you'll also be able to, it's kind of like Skype. You'll be able to do a video visitation throughout the country with family members. But the goal is also people here at home. Say if you don't want to drive down to the jail and do a visitation, you'll be able to do it from the comfort of your own house with a video camera and a computer. So that's something that's coming, but you can still also come down to the jail and sit in the booth. It's kind of like the way the workhouse is set up. That's what the way we're going, and a lot of jails in the state are going to that. So that's how we're...
So you think this is cheaper and better?
I think this is going to be a lot safer for the jail.
How's that?
Well, because a lot of times people go upstairs in the jail, and you know, we may have 100 people going into different visitation booths, and naturally we have rules that say you can't bring cell phones, you can't bring this or that, but we don't have the staff to basically pat down everybody, and so we've had times where people have slid drugs up under doors or you know, try to slid screwdrivers and different things. So it's a safer environment for us.
Are you telling me at the jailhouse, it was opening so you could get something to the people?
There was a door around the side. I think we talked about that about 6 months ago here. There's different trap doors, and so people were sliding stuff up under those traps and trying to get stuff to inmates. Luckily, we were catching it all.
That don't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, it's called a bad design. It's called a bad design. Well, the way that they designed this, but, you know, we can't change it. We just have to live with it, or we can go to this.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Since you've been in your position, how long?
2 years.
2 years. Do you see the difference in what's going on? Are we still having the same amount of people overcrowding this and the same repeat defenders? Are we still having the same problem?
Yes.
So, undoubtedly, what the United States of America is doing is not working, right?
The United States of America incarcerates more of their citizens than any other country.
They do what now?
The United States of America incarcerates more of their citizens than any other country in the world.
That's where I was headed. It's not working. You understand what I'm saying? And so I don't understand why they keep doing the same thing and spending my tax dollars. And you're arresting people for nothing, sir. I mean, these repeat offenders, man, how can you get a job with a bad record? You can't hardly get a job with a college education. Amen, somebody.
What would you suggest? Because
I don't really know.
That's my job.
I'm just saying, we're spending a lot of money.
Well, it's like I tell my supervisors that come to me. If there's a problem, come to me with the solution. You know, what is a solution on this?
The solution is that the politician and the people, like I said, is in the position. Why don't they come up with something?
But I think it is all of our jobs.
Bart, you're trying to take up on them.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it's...
I know, I can hear where you come.
I'm saying, you know, Casey, you might have the idea next week. It may just hit you. You're thinking, man, that's what it would do.
You think they'll go with it?
And you need to share that.
You think they will go with it? I just told him one. But you got to go through the judges, and by the time they go through changing laws, we done spent just as much money.
Well, see, my job is to enforce the law. I don't create laws.
That's what I'm saying. But in order for you to change something out there, how can you do it?
I would go to my lawmakers and ask for a change.
Mike, your friend is good, too. Y'all have a good day, man.
How you doing, sir?
Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question. You talk about saving money and all this kind of stuff. How many vehicles does the sheriff's department have, and why don't they have their own garage and mechanic and parts that they could buy a whole lot cheaper than they could at places where they carry their automobiles?
That's a good one. We have roughly about 250 vehicles for the entire department. It has been proposed. It is something that the county commission does not want to invest in right now because naturally it has a lot of upfront cost to start a garage because the county does not have a garage. It is something that we've talked about at the sheriff's office even prior to my administration. The previous administration talked about it. But it's something that the county commission has not wanted to do the initial investment on. And I say that, to me, it is an investment because, yeah, it has a lot of upfront cost, but over time you would see the payback because another way to teach inmates and give them another skill, changing oil, changing tires. I mean, that's the main thing we do because of the... You got some officers that put on about 150 miles a day to their patrol car. You got some. I know I had two zones a lot of times, zone 6 and 7, and there would be some nights I'd put 300 miles a night on a car. So naturally, you do that a few days a week, and you know, you're almost changing your oil once a month. And we change our oil at every 5,000 miles is how we change our oil on our patrol cars. But yeah, there would be a savings there, but it's the upfront money is the reason why we don't.
That's interesting. And you're saying that the county was looking at it, so this would not just be for sheriff's vehicles.
Well, originally the first look at it was just doing the sheriff's office, because naturally we have more vehicles than any other department in the county. But then the one thing that I think the county, if the county would do it as a whole, it could probably, you know, it'd be a good thing. Just like centralized purchasing. If they had a centralized purchasing department for the county, would probably be a good thing. But it's the upfront money that the county doesn't seem to want to do that investment.
Any other comments, sir?
Well, yeah, I was wondering, I mean, just about every other department in the county has their own mechanics, their own garage. I mean,
not in the county.
You know,
not in the county.
Who doesn't have one? What do you mean?
Well, you're saying every other department in the county has a garage and all that. There's not a garage in the county. They got a little shed behind the armory over there that they do a couple of things for the AMLET service, but that's about it. It's minor stuff, but yet they can't handle the volume that we have. So most of the other departments within the county do like we do. We have several different vendors throughout the county that we go to. We don't try to use one particular vendor. We try to, as you'd say, spread the love a little bit throughout the whole county. And it actually works out for our officers, because you got some officers that live in Smyrna and Laverne, so naturally we try to have a mechanic that's down there closer to their house, because these officers, with their take-home vehicles, they have to do the maintenance on their off time. So it's easier for them to run to a vendor that's close to them. Now, naturally, if we had our own at the sheriff's office, then we could almost do a like a take-home car. You need to drop your car off to have some work done on your Friday. You leave your car there and take another car home, and then Monday when you come back to work, you pick up your car. That would be a great thing. I mean, I'm not knocking it. I wish we could do it.
Yeah, but I understand why the commissioners or whoever, the budget committee, law enforcement, I mean, they can waste money on everything else. Look like this would save money instead of wasting money.
Well, like you hit the nail on the head. It goes back to the commissioners. It's their decision. You know, whenever I take my budget up, I'm asking them. We lay out our budget and we ask them for what we think we need and where we would like to go. We lay out the path we want to go for the year. Every decision always ultimately falls on the county commissioners' lap, and it's their decision on how they allocate the resources for that. And so whenever I go up with my budget, you also have every other department and every other office, elected official, they go up with their budgets as well. And so the commissioners then, you know, I don't envy the Budget and Finance Committee, because, I mean, they've got the toughest job in county government, because they've got to go through all of it and see what's actual needs and wants, and what, you know, and what direction they want this county to go to. You know, naturally, I go up there and say, hey, I need more officers for whatever reason. And, you know, because we have crime in the county and all that. And they decide, okay, you are getting X amount of officers, or you're not getting any officers. You know, so it all falls back on the commissioners on what they want to do and how they want to take this county.
And if we wanted to push that a little bit farther, we could say, you know, just like this previous caller, if you have an idea, share it.
Yes, and I mean, call your commissioners. People call me all the time.
You may want to run for office. I mean, those are regular folks, your neighbors who are in those offices, if you think you can do better.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why people run. You know, I've always said, you know, don't hate the players in the game, hate the game. I mean, then that's what it is when you run for office. I mean, if you think you can do better, then please go for it. That's your God-given right as an American citizen.
Thank you for your call, by the way. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
Mr. Arnold, I've got a couple of questions.
Yes,
do you know the curfew in the county for children under 18?
Midnight.
Sir?
Midnight.
Midnight. Okay. All 7 days?
Yes, I believe so. Now, I believe the city has a curfew at 11, but that's inside the city limits. And that's a city ordinance. So, therefore, a lot of people think when it comes to the sheriff's office, we can't enforce city ordinances. We can only enforce state law. So, if the city has their own special ordinance or law inside the city limits, we can't enforce that as sheriff's deputies. We can only enforce state law.
Right. Okay. The city is 11. I thought I knew that. But the county is midnight.
Yes.
That's kind of late for children under 18. I think they ought to be home.
Well, I believe that's state law.
That's my opinion. And then the other question I had, when you have people going out on trash pickup, when you have inmates going out and pick trash up,
mm-hmm.
I understand they have to get to the, I guess, workhouse and get to where they're going. Do you know why they're not transported? Because, you know, I see the man in behind them all the time going down with them. Do you know why you have to get them there, get them back, and all that good stuff?
Well, I mean, I don't have any control over the workhouse. The workhouse is the mayor oversees the workhouse, so I don't know why they do what they do. I don't know how those policies and procedures all go, because whenever I was over at the workhouse for the brief time that I was, I never went out on the work crews. I know how they do some of the stuff on the inside, but I don't know how they do the work crews.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's exactly the workhouse. Is that through the workhouse, the trash pickup?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
They got a labor grant. Now, every once in a while, we'll send inmates from the jail out when we have the staffing to do so. We'll send them out to do the same type litter pickup or, brush removal. Definitely after storms, I always try to get the inmates out for the down trees, what I call my chainsaw crew. Just to try to get the roads open as clear as fast as we can.
Right. Well, now, this is not really an inmate, but like a DUI, and, part of their, part of their probation and all, they have to go to DUI school, which is good, and then trash pickup, but they have to get, they go to the workhouse, I guess workhouse is where they go, and then you have to take them to wherever they're going to pick up, and then you have to go back and get them. So I didn't know if that came under, your jurisdiction or
not. No, that comes under the jurisdiction of the mayor's office.
Okay. All righty. Well, I appreciate the information.
No, no problem.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
You too. And I think that word she was looking for on the time they spent out public service.
Yes.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes. I just wonder, and Sheriff Arnold, let me first say this. I think you're doing a wonderful job, but does the former sheriff, which is a, I don't know if headstone would be the right word, but does he ever have any input, or has he had input into your administration as far as advice, or do you question him sometimes on things that you might understand that would make your administration do possibly, I'm not going to say a better job, but an influence on your administration? And I'll hang up and I'll listen for your response. Thank you.
The former sheriff and I, we speak in passing. That's about it.
893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. We will continue, and if you have any questions, give us a call, 893-1450. If you're on hold, you are coming up next, so dial quickly. 800-893-1450. And if you're on hold, hold on. You're about to be on the radio.
Talking about your favorite teams every afternoon. This is George Plaster. Join me for Sports Night weekdays 3 to 6 here on WGNS.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
Are you 10 pounds overweight, 30, more? Those extra pounds are hurting the quality of your life, your relationships, and your health. Dynamic Medical Centers offers fast, effective, medically supervised weight loss programs. Patients routinely lose up to 30 pounds in their first 30 days, and our programs are easy to follow with no hunger, no surgery, and no trips to the gym. For a free weight loss consultation, call 455-0850. DynamicMedicalCenters.com.
WeatherEye.
For the forecast area today, sunshine, upper 70s, we'll have a south wind increasing, feeling breezy. Showers and storms possible tonight, low of 52. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 54.
Need help with an HD TV, surround sound, computers, iPods, or any gadget? Call the Tech Life, 653-4890.
I always recommend people, hey, give this guy, the Tech Life, a call. He's on the up and up. He knows what's going on. I trust him. You can too.
The Tech Life, online at thetechlife.net.
For years and years, I've been telling you about Bell Furniture. Perry Bell buys in trailer truckload quantities and passes the savings on to you. First quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture. I know you've heard about Jameson's Marriott mattress. It's half price at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS, The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10. Truman Jones is on weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS.
Sunshine of my life.
We're back again. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. And let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold and Lieutenant Chris Deal. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you, and I hope all of you are. First of all, I'd like to commend Sheriff Arnold. He's doing an excellent job.
Thank you. I have
a question and maybe a little complaint about the school zone. I've noticed, and this has happened to me quite frequently, that they stop a major road traffic to allow one or two cars to come out of a school. Now, I can understand if they're going in, the children have to go to school, but this is after the parents have already dropped the children off. I think it's a little bit unfair. I think they ought to, maybe you could speak to them and instruct them to allow them to have a line of cars before they stop the people on a major thoroughfare.
What school zone? What school zone?
Bellwood. And over on, that Bellwood School's on Middle Tennessee, and also a Black Fox, which is on Rutherford Boulevard.
Both of those are city school zones, so you would need to contact the city of Murfreesboro, Sergeant Walker, I believe, with the Murfreesboro City Police Department.
I was under the impression that all of these folks
No.
were under your command.
No. Thank goodness.
Okay.
No.
Well, I'm very, very sorry. I didn't mean no. to say that.
No. Anyway, the city schools are all under the command of the Murfreesboro Police Department. Smyrna, Laverne, and all the schools out in the county are under the sheriff's office. So,
all right. Well, then I'll have to have a word with them. Thank you. And I enjoyed going to your Sheriff's Citizens Academy and learned a lot.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks. Keep up the good work, and we appreciate you, Sheriff Arnold. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And in addition to being able to go to the Citizens Police Academy, the public, I think, is able to go to see the jail soon.
Yes. On November 17th, we're trying to get the word out so we get a lot of people coming out. November 17th from 2 to 4, we are going to have an open house at the jail at the sheriff's office, and so you'll be able to take tours. One, and come see the new dispatch. Also, come see the new kitchen, and come see the different things we've got going on down at the sheriff's office. And we'll have representatives from each division there to answer any questions that anybody has. So I encourage people to please pass the word. The sheriff's office is your sheriff's office, and so come out and learn about what we do and how we do it.
That's an open house, November 17th, 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And we're just a matter of a few days away from Trunk or Treat.
Yes.
And tell us what your goal there and what it's all about.
It's to give kids a safe place to trick-or-treat. We started this last year, and with the combined of the sheriff's office, the police departments, and the fire departments, we have a safe place where officers will come in on their time, and they bring their kids a lot of times too, but some of the officers will dress up their patrol car, the mounted patrols there, and so we have a whole big area of a field out there where you can go around and trick-or-treat in a safe manner at the sheriff's office. So I encourage everybody to come down. We'll have plenty of candy for that. The other thing I'd just like to reiterate to everybody is, you know, on Halloween night, a lot of kids wear dark costumes and walking around different neighborhoods. So please, we'll have extra deputies out patrolling our neighborhoods that night. But please, you know, remember to drive slowly and safely that night, because we don't want to have any children that are going out to get candy to get hurt because someone didn't see them or something. So please remember that.
Sheriff Robert Arnold and Lieutenant Chris Deal, both with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, visiting with us today. Thank you both for sharing your information today.
Thank you.
Have a super rest of the day. Now, tomorrow we're talking lawns and gardens. And we have some guests from the Ag Center, Mitchell Moat, among others, with us tomorrow. So if you have a lawn or garden question, give us a shout. Hey, have a super rest of the day. The news is next on News Talk 1450 WGNS. Right after that, Truman Jones.
Then I saw her face.